Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. Okay, today's episode is a unique one. As you can see by the title, it's called Advice for New Breakthrough Academy Members. So here's some context. Breakthrough Academy, or BTA as we sometimes call it, is the coaching and advising company that makes this Contractor Evolution podcast. We work with over 600 clients, we call them members, and we help them systemize their businesses for growth. We teach them a business system called the Contractor Growth Method, and then help them implement it into their business over the years that they are in the program. So if you chose this episode, you are either a new Breakthrough Academy member looking for advice on how to get the most out of your time here. And in that case, welcome and congratulations. Or you're not a Breakthrough Academy member yet, but you're kind of curious about what it is exactly we do. And in that case, listen close, because if this conversation clicks for you, if the things we say make sense for you, you can book a discovery call with us using the link in the description. All right, we're going to hear from four amazing BTA coaches: Ashley Annis, Harold Fredericks, Braden Russell, and Shane Bannerman. We've woven together four different interviews into a bit of an ensemble, and between the four of them, they have literally thousands of reps working with business owners just like you. One last thing before we start, there is a really nice one-page summary of this conversation that you can share with a friend or print and have in the office. You can get that using the link in the description. Without further ado, let's dive in with our coaches. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Coach Harold, welcome to the podcast. It's good to have you, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks, Benji. Good to be here.
So here's an easy one to start, man. Like, you've worked with a lot of business owners, both in Blueprint and then the members that you coach and just other ones in the ecosystem that you've interacted with. You have a really good vantage point on what it's like in the early stages of being a member. Why do you think most people start BTA in the first place? What are they going through? Where is their business at? And what kind of outcomes do you think they're hoping to get out of diving into a program like this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question, man. I think a lot of the entrepreneurs that I've seen come through the Blueprints and the ones that I personally work with are really good at their trade. Like, I work with a bunch of roofers and they're really good roofers, which led them to start their own business, right? At some point, the business starts to grow. At some point, they get overwhelmed. Like, I know Dan Martell talks about hitting the pain line in his book, Buying Back Your Time. And when people hit that pain line, it hurts, and subconsciously they're maybe starting to stall their business or sabotage the business or maybe want to sell, but they hit that pain line and it's not what they were hoping for, right? They're out there, they're grinding, they're working hard, and the business is controlling their life versus what they were hoping for was the business to give them some more time and money. So oftentimes I think people get stuck. Like, it's not what they thought it was going to be, right? And they're busier than they were hoping to be. Oftentimes the business is maybe disorganized and there's a real ceiling to where they can go on their own. And I think when entrepreneurs come to realize that, hey, I need to change something, that change something is usually systemize the business is what I hear most often in Blueprint. What cause you to join Blueprint? I need to systemize my business. So I think when people get to that point where, hey, I want to grow, I need systems, let's play the movie forward. Like, what I'm currently doing is not going to work long term. Like, if nothing changes, nothing changes, right? So I think that's where people come in to BTA. And obviously we love taking it from there.
Ashley, welcome back.
Thanks, Benji.
When you have worked with people and you've seen the different trajectories kind of track, have you noticed any differences between the types of business owners that are really successful when it comes to implementation versus the types of business owners that really struggle, or they're not able to implement very quickly, or they feel more like they're spinning their wheels? What's the difference between those two?
Yeah. I always love like the first launch meeting when I'm meeting with a new member who's just like lays it out on the line, right? Like, it's a messy conversation. There's things coming left, right, and center, but they're just showing up open, ready to talk about this stuff that's uncomfortable, ready to be vulnerable with the things that they don't know. And I think a lot of times the owners that come to BTA, you know, like most business owners, they're used to like being the person that like has it all figured out in their professional lives, in their personal lives. And to have that first meeting where it's just, you know, the two of us, or maybe there's another business owner, and so it's a few of us gathering, but they just get to be like, I don't have it figured out. Like, I actually don't know what I'm doing here. Like, this is what I'm experiencing, and I thought I could fix it and I haven't. So that openness, that vulnerability on the front end is critical, because it's hard to solve the root issues if we aren't actually talking about what's real. And that's what allows us to gain traction early on, is not just like symptom management, but it's like, okay, let's talk about like actually like what's like functionally broken here, or what like hasn't even been set up here within the structure of the business.
You put a real emphasis on honesty, transparency, openness. Is it just the case that sort of like the opposite of that is the pattern that you see with businesses that are unsuccessful, when people are really guarded, or they're maybe not vulnerable, or they're almost trying to hide their secrets, or not give you the full picture of things? Is that usually a red flag? Does that correlate with a maybe not as successful of a relationship?
Absolutely. Yeah. As someone early on, is there's a lot of language around, oh, but I'm different. Oh, well, I don't want to talk about that. I just want to talk about this one thing. Or no, don't ask me too many more questions about, like, you know, how painful that was to not make payroll last month. I'd like to actually talk about this other thing. It doesn't allow us to go kind of below the surface a little bit and really understand like what is causing the challenges that they're experiencing. And that's where usually the impact happens.
So the reason you're giving for this as being a really important thing is addressing root causes. It's really difficult to do that if you don't have transparency. But is there anything else as a coach that makes the honesty thing really important? Maybe the way your relationships functions, the way it feels, the trust piece, like, what else is critical when it comes to this transparency thing you're mentioning?
Yeah, like I think a lot of us as coaches feel it's like an honor and like actually really fun to get to do what we do working with the members that we get to work with. And it's actually really fun and like a genuine care relationship when we're talking about what's real. And so it's actually not that fun to have conversations that are like surface level or like really guarded. A lot of us are the type of people that want to get into it and want to get to like the heart of the conversation. And small talk doesn't get that.
Coach Braden, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks, Bal. Excited for this.
It's good to have you. When you're working with someone new, what kind of red flags trigger a yellow light in your mind? In other words, I'm not saying we can't work with this person, but oh, there's a few things I should dig into, get clarity on, ask more questions about, probe into. And I'm looking, you sort of answered the mindset piece. Now I'm asking more about the business. Like, are there things to do with their organizational structure, their cash position, the way they've branded themselves, the way they've organized their team, the culture inside the building, the systems they have or don't have? Is there anything that kind of goes, oh, okay, minor alarm bells, let me dig into this a little more?
There's one big thing that you might find interesting that's not super obvious. When I see people and I look at their org chart and the titles of the employees in their org chart are like a little bit overblown, I get an immediate like, not great. And I'll tell you why in just a second, but just to explain what I mean, if they're doing like $2 million and they call their top person like a CEO,
they're call their bookkeeper a CFO.
CFO, yeah. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So every position is kind of like
inflated,
maxed out, inflated. It might seem funny, but what it tells me is that person, going back to the comment I just made, like it tells me that person isn't able to have the tough conversations, and they want everyone to be happy all the time and to, you know, get the promotion or have the title that they, you know, maybe feel like they deserve, instead of telling them like, no, like you're not actually there yet. So when I see inflated titles, I oftentimes see kind of behind the curtain that there might be some difficulty there having proper conversations and holding accountability because the roles just kind of expand with no control over them.
What would you define as meaningful progress for new members in their first 6 months in Breakthrough Academy? And how much time per week should they be prepared to give in order to get there?
Generally, I say what we say on the coaching side, like 3 to 5 hours a week of dedicated time is useful to kind of get the ball rolling and kind of can, you know, to keep it rolling. A good amount of progress would be to get foundations done. And I'll go through that in just a second here. The employment agreements and like maybe like the leadership team's GSRs in the first 6 months, that would be a great kind of starting point. So in foundations, what that means would be like the one page strategic plan, the budget built, the sales plans and revenue produced plans, the organizational structure, at least one employment agreement comes with that. All the KPIs across the business, financial and non-financial, and then short-term goal setting, that would be foundations. And then separately from that, because that takes about 3 months to do. And then separately after that, I would say the rest of the employment agreements and then at least the leadership team's GSRs. GSRs, for those that don't know, stands for goal set and review. It's a one-on-one accountability meeting. They usually happen every week or every 2 weeks for about 30 minutes to an hour. So I would say having that set up with your leadership team, all employment agreements, and then the 6 foundations lessons would be a great start for 6 months.
Coach Shane, welcome back, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
So what type of like mindset have you noticed the faster implementers have? Like what, in other words, their headspace or their orientation towards this work, how is their mindset different than the slow implementers or the people that really struggle?
Yeah, I would say that you would need a mindset of empowerment. One of the biggest mistakes I see when it comes to implementation is that the owners feel like they need to do it all. But the irony is they started BTA because they were already stretched too thin. If you're maxed out before implementing, how are you going to find time to properly implement? So those who want to lean on their team to help create SOPs, those who allow their management to run GSRs and hold other people accountable, those are the ones who make the quickest changes. Just because you started this business alone doesn't mean that's the way to grow it.
Shane, we at Breakthrough Academy think about implementation kind of like a muscle in the sense that you can develop it and build it and it gets stronger. We want people to become better implementers, not just so that they can implement a few systems in the first 6 months of working with us, not even necessarily so that they can like implement what we tell them to do. It's a much like longer term perspective. You need to become a good implementer to build the business that you want. And that is going to be something that serves you well beyond Breakthrough Academy. So the question is, what are some really learnable skills that somebody can acquire early on in the BTA journey to become a better implementer for the long term?
Yeah, for sure. Without question, you need to become a DD. You need to become data-driven. Numbers are not scary. They're actually fascinating. And a lot of the members, they have built their business based on hard work and gut reactions, and good for you. Like you've created something amazing just based on trusting your instincts. But if we want to grow, we need to become data driven. So that is a skill. It can be taught and it's something that is required. A coach can help you determine the outcome before you even begin once you're data driven. A second thing that I might add there is the ability to set goals. There's a difference between wanting to accomplish something and setting a goal to accomplish that. And the best goals are the ones that are self-driven. So a coach can help you. A coach can help you set the goalposts. A coach can help you write down what you need to work on next. But if you yourself are self-driven and know what goals you want to set and make them SMART goals, which is specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-based, if you can make SMART goals for yourself, not only will you and your coach be able to accomplish a lot faster, but you'll actually become a role model for people in your business. And you'll be able to start to elevate people around you a lot faster as well.
One of the things we harp on about a lot at Breakthrough Academy is the community and the power therein. You know, there's obviously the BTA coaches, and a bunch of coaches are contributing to this episode or this content piece. There's also 600 plus members, and in many cases, the employees of those members or the broader teams of those members. It is quite a large community when you kind of sum total everyone. Why are we so bullish on the community being a really important value added part of the overall offer? And what is your advice to members to get the most out of that community in their first 6 months?
So the reason why it's so valuable, or why we think it's so valuable, in my opinion, there's a couple things that come to mind. So number one, I haven't actually been in everybody's shoes and done all these things that they're doing, right? Like, I haven't run every single type of business across BTA. I've you know, run a business before, but not every single type of business is here. So when one member understands a concept that I was teaching them really, really well, and another member's having trouble with it, to always hear the same thing from the teacher sometimes doesn't land exactly how they need it to land in that moment. And peer-to-peer learning is incredibly valuable in helping people understand different people's perspectives. Just hearing how they actually implemented it in real time in their business, I might have told one person one thing, but they might have done something slightly differently, and it was more effective, and I just never heard about it, and that's fine. But when the second person's having issue with the same thing, they might not have connected those same dots, and they might not realize that what I said isn't exactly how somebody else did it. So hearing somebody else talk through, like, yeah, I know Braden said this, but I actually did this version of it and it worked really well. Sometimes they have these giant aha moments that I'm actually not even a part of. I was never even made aware that they did something slightly differently from, you know, what I suggested they did, which is great. I want people to do things differently. The second thing that comes to mind is if you can explain something to somebody else, you've completed like the cycle of learning. If you can't, then you simply haven't. So if you think that you understand something reasonably well and you go to explain it to somebody else and you're like, shoot, I actually don't know how those pieces connect. It's like, well, that's fine. You just don't understand it as well as you think you did. So the other piece that's really useful is it actually helps the members that are even assisting. It helps them understand these concepts at a deeper level as well, because they're trying to reach out and help other people. And that connects dots in their mind that they might not have even realized as well. So it helps people even who are doing the teaching. It helps them learn. And it also helps the people on the other side hear things from different perspectives that I'm just not, you know, able to give because I haven't been in the exact same shoes as somebody else.
In other words, it helps the giver and the receiver equally as much.
Massive, which is why BTA has such an amazing community. It's helpful on both sides.
And what would be your advice to a new member in their like early days in order to really tap into that community quickly? How do they get involved? How do they make friends, peers in their groups? Like, what's your advice for someone to really get the squeeze the most juice out of the community early on?
Yeah, great thought. I think, again, taking ego out of the equation, right? It's okay if you don't have everything figured out. Just accept that and then be humble enough to go contact another BTA member. And we have lots of platforms where we can facilitate that. And hey, maybe there's another builder who's also using Builder Trend. Hey, would you be open to hopping on a call and talk about how I can best use Builder Trend? Like, that's pretty awesome, right? Talking to another business owner about specific SOPs or comp models or training or ideal candidate profiles for somebody that they need to hire. Just ask the question. You are going to be so amazed with how giving this BTA community is. Like, the majority of the business owners that I've personally met, they will give it all away. All you have to do is ask and just be real, like actually live that out. So connect with people. And that starts in Blueprint, right? We have a Blueprint group. Reach out to your peers in Blueprint. Then after that, when you end up in Foundations, talk to the other members in Foundations. Reach out to your implementer groups. There's so many good people out there, man. Just take advantage of the community. You're going to love it.
What is your approach, or I should say our approach, BTA's approach, to dealing with people who are struggling or beginning to fall behind?
I think, like, I hate when people are like, I'm behind. And like, you're not. Like, wherever you are right now is exactly where you should be. There is no behind when you're looking to, build a business, and when you're looking to make some big changes and create a future for yourself or your family and your people. Like, there is no behind. And so what I usually do is just go back to like, okay, is our 3-year, is where we want to be in a few years, like, kind of clear? It doesn't need to be perfect, but like, we know the mountain top that we're working towards. And then, does the annual plan get us there? Okay, so are the things that we committed to this year probably gonna like get us to a couple base camps on the way to that mountaintop? And then, is what you're doing like week to week working towards that annual plan? It's not gonna be perfect. No one's perfect. But if, again, if we have that like I'm in progress mindset, and we can embrace that I am in progress, then that allows us to like have seasons where we don't get everything done off our checklist and know that like, no, but I know my mountaintop. I have confidence in my annual plan, and I know that I'm going to get back on track, and that's where coaching and accountability and all that can come into play. But there is no behind is I think what a critical takeaway is for that.
Going back to the data-driven thing, what have you found is the most useful coaching techniques or insights to share or exercises to follow or almost like mental reframes? Like, how do you as a coach, what do you find useful when you're trying to take someone who is historically not being data driven? They might be running their business for 10 years this way off of gut instincts and their own sort of ideas and reactivity to things that come up day to day, to becoming very data driven, much more analytical. How do you help someone through that progression?
Yeah, that's a tough question because there's so much data out there and it's going to be very different what applies to each member. But I will say two things. I'll say most members who are new to BTA either have a sales opportunity or a production opportunity. Either they're doing really well in sales, the phone is ringing, it's keeping up on a production side of it, or it's the opposite, where they've got the capacity, they've got the people, they can do the job, but they just need more leads, they just need more opportunity to close out jobs. So that sales plan and production plan early on, understanding that, understanding how many leads you need, how many estimates you need to give, how many jobs you need to book to make that budget come to life, or on the other side of it, for that production side of it, what is your charge rate? What do you need to be producing to make sure you're keeping up with your sales? Because if your sales are going through the roof, you might need to upstaff, 2 months early to be able to keep up with that production that's inevitably around the corner. So I would say those two. The other thing that I would have to say though is that your business is going to have a lot of trouble. I think a lot of members can relate to this. It's going to have a lot of trouble hitting the goals you want if your estimating is wrong. Your estimating has to be on. So we have what we call the job cost card, and that is just invaluable data because that is analyzing the jobs after they're complete and making sure that that gross profit margin landed where you expected it to land. It's just such a small, easy piece of data, but it's so important because it will identify where the gaps are in your business. And most importantly, if there's a gap in your estimating, that's a gap you can't afford to have. And there's no situation where you can afford to have that. So the JCC, I think, is a beautiful data piece as well.
What drives you absolutely mental as a coach? You're working with someone, like, what are there bad habits, bad behaviors, attitudes, ways people show up to meetings, missed commitments? What are some things that just like really make you see red when you're working with someone?
When they don't do what they said they were going to do, that starts to bug me. It's also pretty common because people have a lot of stuff going on. So I don't get upset overly with that. The part that really drives me up the wall is when people consistently miss meetings without telling me that they're going to miss the meeting. That drives me crazy for a couple of different reasons. The obvious one is it's a waste of my time, because I'm sitting on the call waiting. But the second thing is, and this is the real reason why it drives me nuts, is because I can see the pattern of what it would be like to be working in that company under that person as a leader. because I'm their coach. They're paying to come and meet with me.
Imagine how they treat people who they, yeah, who are there for free. Or they, exactly. They pay.
Exactly. So yeah. I'm the furthest up that spectrum possible. I'm a paid consultant. You don't even have time or the respect to come talk to me or even let me know that you're going to miss a meeting. Imagine the people on the bottom end of that spectrum. They would be completely dismissed. So I get really frustrated really quickly, not just because it's a waste of my time. It is also a waste of my time, but because I can see the pattern as to how they would be treating their staff. And usually what I see is when people are missing meetings consistently without telling me is they don't have a very good culture because they're not treating their staff very well. They don't communicate properly. They don't respect other people's times. They're reactive. They're not proactive. There's a lot of things that actually get tied on to that. But that's the leading indicator, if you will, of the chaotic leadership style. Going back to this inflated, titles. Again, I see these things very closely tied together, and they're usually done with the same type of people.
That's a really great answer. For someone who's committed to the implementation process, where can they expect to be a year later?
So a year in is actually when I find members are able to do the best version of like their three-year painted picture, or their three-year vision for the company. We get them to play with it at the beginning and start to create that mountaintop idea of where they want to head. There's usually like so much learning though that happens in that first year of actually, sometimes from the community, oh, that's possible. Like I actually want that. Or, oh, I thought I was like, doing really great cash flow wise, but it turns out I was overbilled, by $400,000. Like, it's like, you know so much more about the business. And so it's usually pretty powerful at that point. Members feel like confident and clear on building out that 3 year or that clear painted picture for their business. And they're generally in a place of being able to be more strategic with their time. And so all those things that we were like, kind of playing with and fumbling for a year, they like can take a breath and they're like, okay, I now can make, I've practiced making a strategic plan and seeing how it went on the way. The ability to build like great strategic plans and execute them is like significantly more impactful after a year.
Because they've been primed, and there's institutional knowledge that they now have about how this stuff works, and they've done a V1. Like I was thinking about, like when you're doing writing, you do a V1, and then you come back to it 4 days later, and like the edits are so obvious because you've had a chance to sleep, and your brain has worked, and your subconscious has worked, and you did this first crack at it, but now that you go back to it, it's like delete this paragraph, add this one. We're gonna go left here instead of right, and it's a much more let's say nuanced, impactful, almost like personal statement about the future that they want. So that's a really, really big piece. Anything else that you would describe in terms of like systems or infrastructure or the state of their team a year in?
Yeah. And just to play off that too, like you can't get to V2 without being V1, right? You can't get to that personal, measured, more impactful like strat plan if you haven't done the V1 of that draft that you were working on. And so it's a critical part of the journey. So typically at that point, in terms of like org structure, we know a little bit more about who are the people that maybe have like potential or have the ability to take on some more or need their role shifted. And so the org structure is more nuanced and typically more clear. The roles are further defined, or we are more clear on what roles are needed for the organization in order to hit the future version of the business that they'd like it to be. And so from the people perspective, we're then able to set better goals, be more aligned, drive culture, drive performance a little bit further because we're more clear again about their performance, their skill sets. Maybe we've implemented some standard operating procedures. We've implemented some, maybe some different tracking measures. And so the team is just able to execute at a higher level.
Shane, and this is a good one to close on. What do you love about coaching the members that you have coached? What gives you a lot of meaning? What gives you a sense of pride? What's your favorite part about working with small business owners as closely as you do?
I really love helping people just be the best version of themselves. And I think that BTA really just sets us up for success in that space. I think that members come to BTA because there is a part of them that knows they're not being the best version of themselves. They're stretched too thin. They're maybe being short with their team. They understand that they need to work on their sales and marketing, but they just don't have the time to do so. So they're not. So I really love that we just get to stop and pause and just take a sniper approach to what is development for you, what is going to really level up your business, and let's put some strategies and processes in place to make those things happen. And then when they do, and you get to step back and you see that now we are running successful GSRs in our business, or we have actually systemized our business, or we've gotten 40 five-star Google reviews in the last 3 months, and we only got 20 all year last year. As a coach, that's my favorite thing in the world. Just knowing that some of the conversations that we had with a real dedication to self-development has actually created real change in your business. I love it.
I'd say the most rewarding part of being a coach in BTA just in general is watching people develop. It's like my favorite thing. It's so cool. So what I mean by that specifically, like, yeah, of course the awards are fun. You know, it's nice to stand up on stage and say nice things about people who've done amazing things and, to show them off. It's really cool to see businesses grow from like, 5 million to 20 million in a couple of years, and the profit margins explode. Like, all those things are really fun. But the watching somebody grow is just like, it's hard to put words to it. Like, when you see them in their first year and they're like a bit unsure and they're a bit hesitant as a leader and they're kind of, indecisive in kind of making decisions and they don't really know exactly what direction they want to take the business. And then like a year or two later, they're like coming into the call and they know exactly what they need. They know exactly what they're looking for. A problem happened in the business. They made a decision. They got rid of this person. They hired that person. Like, they're becoming like a confident, decisive leader with like true strategy kind of like leading them. That part like is, it's hard to put specific KPIs on, but that's my favorite part of coaching, is like thinking back where a person was when they first came in. And then watching them a couple years later just turn into this like absolute beast of a business leader. It's the coolest thing.
I think seeing like the confidence grow through time is incredibly powerful. I had the gift of being in a leadership meeting with one of my members in December, and thinking back like 5 years prior to, this individual being, just themselves in a truck driving around. And I got to sit in on their strat planning session, and they were creating this, vision and this plan, and they had a team rallying around that. I'm like, this is so cool to see them, build the business that was just a dream, that was just like an idea, 5 years ago. Like, they're actively living it.
Why is that so rewarding?
I see the impact on, the disciplines that they have in their life, on their family, on their personal goals. It's like, to me, there's, seeing them make more money, that's great. And like, it's important. Like, we're not a nonprofit here. We're not working with nonprofits typically at PTA. So that's great to see. But, I love just being able to, come alongside the journey of doing it all to being a business leader who leads through, a team and the opportunities that's created for the individuals that were, who knows what their role was 5 years ago. It's kind of a gift to get to see the development.
Yeah, it's pretty special because you really develop real relationships with people. Like, I have members that I've been working with for 3-4 years, and I know about their marriage, their kids, what they do in life, their hobbies. And to be able to play a part in adding value to their life. Yes, we're here to help them make more money and gain more time, right? Which is great. That's a lot of businesses are after those two things, more money and more time. But then to be able to be part of that journey it's so rewarding. Sometimes stuff comes out of left field and it's like, now we're talking about someone's marriage, right? Like, hey, I'm not a marriage counselor, but I've read a couple of books. I can share some thoughts and maybe point you in the right direction. And none of that has anything to do with business, but at the same time, that has everything to do with business. Mm-hmm. To really develop these relationships, add value, and it's so rewarding to be able to. I can name you 20 guys all across North America that I would call friends that I would have never met if it wasn't for this BTA universe that we live in. There's some great people in many states, many provinces, and that's pretty special.
Let's leave it at that, Harold. That's a perfect interview. Great answers. Thanks for sharing with all that stuff, and appreciate the time, man.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you.
Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our channel, consider sharing this episode with another contractor who you think needs to hear it.